Our first scripture lesson today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as a zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Now, each of the gospel writers have their own slant on how this happened and where it happened, but what is true for John's account is that it happened in Bethany, in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in his account, Mary anoints Jesus' feet. This was a foreshadowing not only of the crucifixion, because when people were crucified, their feet were anointed before burial. But it's also a foreshadowing of the Last Supper when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. So listen now to John's version of the anointing of Jesus found in the first eight verses of the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There he gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Now he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for my day of burial. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, you did not invite us here for us to hear a human word, but a word from you. We come remembering that your word is a living word, active and always with us, that is always saying something new to each of us and to us as a church. So clear out any distractions that are in our minds and our hearts, and help us to focus on you. Help us to listen for your word, which is the best word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So, did you give up anything for Lent? You know, one year I gave up chocolate, and if you are a chocoholic like I am, I wouldn't recommend it, because it made for a very long Lent. People give up all kinds of things for Lent. Some people give up soft drinks. Some people give up social media. You know, the list is endless. When people are at revivals and they give or rededicate their lives to Christ, often they are giving up vices, things like gambling or drinking or cheating on their taxes. But most of the time, we give up the things that we know aren't very good for us in the first place. In contrast, in the first reading today, Paul says that I gave up the best, my best, what I most valued. Now, there aren't too many of us who can say that, are there? In the first part of his life before meeting the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, by the world standards, Paul had everything going for him. He was a triple threat, a man with a pedigree, an education, and a proven track record. Paul was born into an observant Jewish family. He was educated in the law of Moses, and he was also educated in the writings of the prophets. The text also tells us that Paul was righteous and blameless, and if we were to take that literally, that would mean that he hadn't broken any of the 613 laws that are in the Torah. He was highly respected in Jewish circles, and he had every single advantage, but then he decided to give it all up. To many of his contemporaries, some thought that Paul, in the worst case, had lost his mind, and others thought that he had made some unbelievably bad decisions. Those decisions ended up landing him in jail. Even so, Paul had no regrets. He says that the attributes of his old life seemed to him as rubbish. Now, the Greek word that's been translated into rubbish is actually skibala. And it not only means trash or rubbish, but it also can mean excrement. Now, we have some various words in our vocabulary that we could use to translate it, but none of them are fit to be spoken out loud in the process of a sermon. There once was a rich man who was near death, and he was grieving his death because he had done very well and he had worked so very hard his whole life, and he wanted to take part of his wealth with him. So he prayed night after night, "Oh Lord, Lord, please, I want to take some of my wealth with me to heaven." Well, an angel happened to overhear him and showed up in his room one night, and after he got over the fright, she said, "I heard what your prayer was, and I'm sorry, but you can't take it with you. You cannot take your wealth with you." And he started arguing with her, and he said, "Are you sure there's no way that I can take my wealth with me? Please, 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 can't you just bend the rules a little?" And she said, "Look, it's not up to me. That decision is above my pay grade. That is God's decision, and those are God's rules." He said, "Well, please, can you please go and plead my case before God?" So she did, and she came back and she said, "Okay, I've never seen this happen before, but God said that you can take one suitcase with you." So that night, after finding the largest suitcase that he could, and pulling back the covers and putting it on his bed, he went to his safe, and he took one gold bar after another. And he was kind of frail, so it took him a long time, and he filled that whole suitcase with gold bars. And then, just for good measure, right before he fell asleep, he decided to hang on to the handle of that suitcase. Well, God decided it was time for him to go to heaven, and when he woke up, there he was standing at the pearly gates facing St. Peter, And St. Peter said, "Hello, welcome to heaven." And he starts walking through and he goes, "But wait a minute. You aren't allowed any carry-ons here. You can't take that with you." And he says, "Oh, yes, I got special permission." And so he said, "Let me check it out." He comes back and he says, "Oh, yeah, I see that you actually did get special permission. But I'm supposed to open the suitcase and look and see what it was that you brought." So when he opened the suitcase, he had a puzzled look on his face. And he looked at the man and he said, "You brought gold? Don't you know that the streets of heaven are paved with that stuff?" When compared with what God has to offer through Christ, we can begin to understand how the best that this world can offer, all of our wealth, our pedigree, our education, our reputation, our social standing, just doesn't hold a candle for Paul or us to a relationship with the risen Christ. Paul didn't give up those things because he felt like they were worthless. He gave up those things because Paul found something better. Similarly, in the reading from John's Gospel, Mary, she gives up her best too. Verse 3 tells us that Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. That perfume was the best that money could buy. It was actually known as spikenard and came from the Himalayan mountains. 300 denarii was about as much as somebody would earn for a whole year. Now, Mary and Martha and Lazarus weren't rich, unless you're thinking rich in spirit. But that was her gift. Not only did she give the gift of the perfume, but she also sacrificed her reputation. With the scent of the perfume filling that whole house and all eyes on her, Mary let down her hair. Now, we all know that that was something that women didn't do in that time and place. And she, as a single woman, touched a rabbi or a teacher's feet. And then she dried them with her hair. Glances must have been exchanged, jaws must have dropped, and tongues must have wagged. But it didn't matter to Mary. What was most important was expressing her love for Jesus. That was more important to her than worrying about the money that was spent for the perfume or worrying about her reputation. You know, when I read these stories, I often find myself, when I read Bible stories, identifying with one character or another. Maybe you do too. Which one of us wouldn't hope that if we were in Mary's shoes that day in Bethany, that we too would have grabbed that opportunity to do such a loving and worshipful thing for Jesus? But we weren't there. And so we let ourselves off the hook, at least I have in the past, and place this story at a comfortable distance. We may reason that this was a unique situation that only happened to Mary, so nothing is required of us. Until we come to ourselves and remember Christ's words. And we know these words so well as a Matthew 25 congregation. "When you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me." When that happens, we work on giving up the idea that we can't serve Christ in our own time and place, and we start serving others, like Mary did. But Mary wasn't the only person in the room that day. There was another sister, Martha. Martha is the one who is scurrying around and gets the bad rap for being a type A personality and is said to be so busy doing that she can't possibly make time for sitting and listening. But where would we be without the Marthas in our lives? You know, those people who are either male or female, who keep things going, who do all the behind-the-scenes things that must be done to keep us all on track, like doing the shopping, or paying the bills, or cleaning the house, or making the appointments, and just keeping things organized. Sometimes we all are like Martha. And then there's the brother, Lazarus. I can remember some ways in my own life when God has rescued me and breathed new life into me, into my dreams, or given me new dreams. At points in my life where I was so low that I thought all had been lost. Maybe you can too. Those memories during the desert times in our lives are what sustain us and get us through. Sometimes in life we are like Lazarus. Finally, John, and yes, he has to be named someone else who was there at that table by the name of Judas. He's the one in John's account of the anointing that complains that Mary shouldn't have spent all of that money on that perfume, that it could have been used to feed the poor. We too have a Judas side. Judas is a little voice within us that tells us to fear scarcity rather than to celebrate abundance. The voice that we often tell ourselves is our practical side, that there's not enough to go around, so we better hold on to whatever it is that we have. This is the side of our personality that forgets that God's grace is overflowing and limitless. This is the side of us that forgets that Jesus' first miracle was the wedding at Cana. What a celebration that must have been. And the story of the feeding of the multitudes, the only miracle that is told in all four of the Gospels. Yes, sometimes we are like Judas. The truth is, at any given time in our lives, we have been and we are a mix of all of these personality types. Some days we are more like Mary, and some days we're more like Martha. Some days we're more like Lazarus, and on our very worst days, we're more like Judas. In our spiritual journey, the real struggle is between the voice of Mary and the voice of Judas. In every situation, we have a decision to make on whose voice that we will listen to, the voice of fear, of selfishness, of control, or the voice of joy and self-giving, and the voice that tells us that we should trust our future to God. Just how were Paul and Mary able to give up what they valued the most? How in the world might we who already love Jesus but want to love him more, follow more closely in their footsteps? Perhaps we could be more intent on listening to the voices that are speaking and paying more attention to the voices that sound more like Paul and more like Mary, and choosing to which voice we will listen. No matter who we are, there is something we can all give up in order to make room or to make more room for a relationship of abundant life with and in Jesus Christ. Max Lucado tells about a time when his daughter was a toddler and he took her to the park and she was playing in the sandbox. And while she was playing there, he walked just a little bit away to a vendor and he bought her a double dip ice cream cone. Well, when he got back, he noticed that she had sand all over her lips and in her mouth. Now, did he love her with all of that sand in her mouth? Of course. Was she any less his daughter with all of that sand in her mouth? Of course not. But was he going to let her stay that way? Absolutely not. So he says that he loved her and he refused to let her stay that way. So he scooped her up and he took her over to the water fountain and washed her mouth out with water. And why did he do that? Because he loved her. He loved her, but he wasn't going to leave her there with all that dirt in her mouth. Our God is not some sort of a cosmic killjoy that wants us to give everything up that we value or that makes life meaningful to us so that God may somehow be aggrandized and we may be minimized. God, who is self-sufficient, always has our best interest at heart. God wants us to thrive. Thankfully, our transformation into Christ-like disciples is not all up to us. Our all-wise, all-loving Lord wants to replace our diet of dirt with the only thing that truly can nourish us and help us to grow, a living, dynamic relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." What in the world would make a person want to give up their birthright and their social standing? What in the world would motivate a person to spend a year's worth of salary and want to give up their reputation for one who was good as dead? Only something better. The good news is this: in our baptism, we have been offered an eternal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how young or how old we are, the best is yet to come. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? All wise, all loving Creator, by the power of your Holy Spirit, give to us, as your word promises, the desires of our heart. Help us to recognize the skyballa in our lives for what it is, so that we can, even if only little by little, give it up, that we might have more room for and embrace a relationship with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands through which Christ touches the world. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion onto the world. And yours are the feet through which Christ travels to do good. Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. So go and be Christ's body. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you and look upon you and give you peace. Alleluia. Amen.